Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heart of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. I'd love to invite you right here at the top to help to support this podcast, to grow this community, share the podcast with your run community as we grow on the run and beyond. Make sure that you are following or subscribing using your favorite podcasting app, or you can find it online at communityrunpod.com. And you know what? While you're online, if you could do a big favor and head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, rate and review the podcast to help others know how much you enjoy it. Leave a 5-star rating and a review, and I will read your review on the next podcast. And we have ourselves a review from KFG09 over on Apple Podcasts. This is such a fun and energetic podcast that centers on the running scene in Hampton Roads. Andrew does a great job of digging into the spirit of the running community and helps dissect what keeps people engaged and committed through their running journey. Always excited for a new episode to launch. Thank you so much, KFJ09. Means a lot. Head on over, rate and review the podcast. Let me know what you are loving about these shows. And lastly, I would love it if you have enjoyed any of our previous conversations, if you enjoy this conversation that I'm about to have today, and you want to become either a member or leave a tip over on Buy Me a Coffee, that would be great. You can either leave it as a one-time tip, shout it out as a great episode that I did, or you can become a member, a $5 a month gift, and it just helps to keep this podcast going. It helps to keep all this stuff I'm doing and become a part, a part of that Run and Rev Run Club as we continue to kind of grow this community. And so for today's episode, I have on Robin Telfian. Robin is the director of Chewed, which is a nonprofit in Richmond, Virginia that collects running shoes, but also works with run companies to get running shoes. So she collects shoes, old worn out running shoes, then donates them to poor and homeless shelters in the community. She collects shoes from running stores and running brands to help to put shoes on the feet of high school students throughout the city of Richmond. And this is such a great episode. I had her on my last podcast and I had to get her back on this one to kind of tell this story and to dive in. And so let's hear the story of Chewed, how it got started, and all the great work that Robin is doing. Welcome in, everybody. Hope you are doing well today. Today, we are joined by Robin Telfian of Chewed. This is my second conversation with Robin about Chewed. So I think at this point in time, this is the test on whether I can do all the alliterative stuff that comes with Chewed. But Robin, what a joy to have you on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. So for those of you who may be familiar with the podcast I did before, Active Faith, I had Robin on that podcast, and what a joy it was to kind of hear this story about Chewed, and we're going to get into that. But Robin, before we begin, I always love to dive in with the question of what is your community and why is it awesome?
My community, I have to say, in regards to Chewed, my community are those who help us run Chewed. And it's really the volunteers, the partners, the donors, those folks that really help us across the board, you know, because we're volunteer run, nonprofit. So no one's getting paid to do this. So it really takes a lot of hands to have gotten us going. We're 7 years in at this point, and for us to continue to expand our footprint across Richmond and now into other areas of Virginia, it's taken a lot of hands and feet to help us out.
Yeah. And you talk about this being a 7-year journey. And I think that that is a great place to start. 7 years ago, when you had just this crazy idea that really stems from what runners use most often, and combining that with probably one of the greatest needs that is present within homeless and poor communities. And we'll get to the extension that has also happened from that. But let's flash back to those early days. Where did this idea? Well, first, can you explain what Chewed does before we kind of get too deep? What does Chewed do?
Chewed collects shoes not only from the running community. That's kind of where it started. Again, avid runners retire their shoes after 300 to 500 miles. So those shoes, we're getting shoes directly from the public, but we also are getting shoes from shoe companies. And so we collect those shoes, then we bring them into our space. We have a shoe headquarters where everything is sorted and sized and getting ready to go. Then we take those shoes out into the community and we distribute them in different ways. For the shoes that we can't use, meaning that they're a little bit too worn for what we do, we actually share those shoes with other outreach organizations in Richmond area, nonprofits around the area that works with different folks and really getting into the community in a way that we can't on a daily basis. Blessed Warriors is one of them, but we give those shoes and those go straight on feet. The other groups that we do, we work with soup kitchens and food pantries throughout Richmond, where we really go in and we set up shoe stores to distribute those shoes. We size and fit everybody that comes through those soup kitchens. We do that twice a year. We do it every 6 months at locations like St. Peter's Catholic Church. Red Door, Caritas is another organization we work with. And Lighthouse RVA is another group that we work with. And then the other thing that we do with the new shoes that we receive, we actually go into the inner city high schools. The Richmond Public Schools, which it's Armstrong, TJ, George Wythe, John Marshall, and oh my goodness, Huguenot High School. Mm-hmm. And we've just now expanded and going down to Petersburg, which we're really excited about. So we're going to be doing that. So those shoes are brand new. Those come directly from shoe companies. We also put track spikes on those kids. So that's, and again, for anybody that we go out, the shoe shares within the community and also with the high schools, we go and size and fit everybody because we believe that a good fitting shoe is what everybody deserves. And so it's all done with dignity. And that's really the core of what we do is around the idea of dignity.
And so where did this whole, idea come from? Where did it begin? We see what it's become and all the shoes that you give away. Where did this thought begin?
I was volunteering about 7 years ago at a soup kitchen, and I always worked the floor of the soup kitchen that I was involved in. It's called Red Door, which is part of Grace and Holy Trinity Church, and it's right in the Monroe Park area. And every Friday they do a soup kitchen, and I really became close to a lot of the folks that were coming through. And to me, a lot of what I do is about consistency. And once people, and again, that's with shooting with what I was doing with the soup kitchen. It's when you show up and you are consistently in someone and talking to people and becoming close to them, there's that idea, it's that trust and that they know you're going to be there. And so I started really having a great dialogue with the folks that would come through. And on one particular Friday, one of the guests asked me for a pair of shoes. He has holes in them. And I said, absolutely, I'll get you. And I remember it was a size men's 10 and a half. I still remember his name's David. And I said, yes, I will. And he asked me this incredible question. He said, he goes, I wonder, because there was a big race getting ready to happen. And I actually had my running clothes on. And he asked me how my run was that morning. And he asked, I wonder what happens to runner's shoes after a big race. And loved the question, like a light bulb went on. And I thought, there's something really great here. And I just couldn't shake the question. And so I started researching. Yeah. I contacted my avid running friends. And I said, what do you guys do with your shoes? And they're like, well, there's no one consistently doing anything in Richmond. And when there were boxes places, most of those shoes were going outside of Richmond. And I would see the need on a daily basis. I would drive through the streets of Richmond and you see that there's a need. And I thought, what if we did something here in a consistent way? And so then I actually reached out to Jeff Wells. He's the first person I contacted at Fleet Feet. Now, I didn't know Jeff at the time, and I contacted him. I said, can we put a box in your store? And he said, what are you wanting to do? And I said, I want to make sure these shoes, I want to get shoes on feet, but I also want to make sure they fit. And he said, well, let's do this. And so he actually really was our first community partner that jumped on board. And so we started doing shoe giveaways at local soup kitchens. And it really took off from there. And we still have boxes in his stores, all three of his stores. But we also have boxes over at Sportsbackers, which Sportsbackers is an amazing community partner too. But that's really how it started, And again, it was just came from that one question that I couldn't stop thinking about it.
But you talk about your involvement, right? You were on your way to a race, you know, wearing your running clothes, and you had probably had your running shoes or a pair of running shoes on. You talk about this connection with Jeff Wells and Fleet Feet. You talk about this connection with sports backers. And so how much a role has the running community around you in Richmond played in not just making this a reality, but really that gave you the drive and passion to even think that this was possible?
I knew how strong the running community was in Richmond. And I think when you ask for help from that running community, they just show up. I mean, it is amazing to me, the marathon training team and the half, the amount of shoes they donate when they're in their training season. And even when they're not, I mean, they know that the box is there at Sports Backers. Mm-hmm. And always, I mean, I'll get a call from Will Dixon and he'll be like, hey, it's full, you know? And I love to hear that. I mean, I think it excites me because when we started, we had to beg for shoes. And now they are rolling in, I mean, constant. And sometimes we have to bring in people twice a week because we clean every pair of shoes that go on feet. If they're not brand new, we clean them. And so, you know, we have extra people here when the piles get larger because our goal is to clean them up and get them straight on feet.
You also have this sort of double-sided thing going where you're providing, you know, shoes to the local community, to those who really need shoes and even socks. Do you still partner with Bombas?
Yeah, we get 5,000 pairs a year from Bombas.
Yeah, so partnering with Bombas and, you know, socks and shoes probably being some of the most recommended stuff in homeless shelters and things like that. But then also this other side where, you know, you're doing this good in the community for the community and for the people who are around, especially in Richmond. But then you've also found a way to utilize the same almost model, not the old running shoes, but more being able to partner with running shoe brands and running shoe stores to be able to help to make sure that running itself is accessible as well. John LaMagna from Rain, et cetera, on this podcast, listeners will remember. I mean, running shoes are expensive, but when you think about the bare basics of running, you know, a good, well-fit pair of running shoes becomes part of it. And especially in some of our, you know, in the poorer communities, in the inner city communities, where there isn't as much access to wealth, shoes do become a barrier to some of these athletes and schools being able to participate and being able to participate in a healthy way. How did you guys get invested in that side of it? You know, you talked about getting involved in the shelter side of it to be able to provide shoes to people who physically need them just to live their life, but then also to give back to the running community to hopefully make running itself more accessible to the youth of the sport. So how did that kind of come to play out?
You know, we probably about 2 years in. So, I mean, gosh, I mean, now it's been 5 years. We received a call from John Marshall. At the time, it was the cross country season. So it was cross country coach. And she said, hey, we've got kids running in basketball shoes that don't fit. Do you have any shoes? And we call it shoe magic, because sometimes what we find is there's shoes will show up and then there's a need or vice versa. So at this time there was a Relay Goods, which is a company out of Richmond who does a lot of online running shoe. You can go check them out at Relay. They actually contacted me and said, hey, listen, you know, we got these track spikes. Do you need track spikes? And so I said, absolutely, not knowing, you know, that there was going to be a need later on, but I always know it shows up. So I said, absolutely. So the shoes show up and I looked through the box. There's also throwing shoes in there, which And so it was probably 2 days later, we got a call back from the coach and she said, hey, you know, we need these shoes. And I said, absolutely. And it was then, but that was between cross country. And then we were going into indoor and I said, come over and grab them right now. And so we gave it to them and, you know, lo and behold, we not only worked with the cross country team, but we also did the indoor, worked with the indoor team. And in the spikes that we gave them, there was a team that qualified for states. It was really, what was really great about that was the coaches were sending us pictures throughout the day on that Saturday. And we're like, and we felt a part of it. And it was almost, we knew that it was really something amazing there. When that happened, and then COVID hit, we continue to work with John Marshall, but when COVID hit, we're like, okay, let's do something more than just John Marshall. Let's do Let's see what else we can do. We also, we got approved from Richmond Public Schools to become one of their partners in the community. And we now go to all five of those high schools, which has been amazing. And again, we see, you know, you think about it, you see, we've got to see these kids grow up, you know, these student athletes grow up. So we see them freshman year, we've seen them graduate, we've seen them go ahead and, you know, they've gone on to run. Some of them have gone on to run in college, and then we keep up with them through that. So we've got to see these kids. And what is great about it, in the beginning, nobody, you know, again, you know, we were just trying this stuff out. So we're sizing and fitting. Now, when we roll up, they know not only the kids, the student athletes, but also the parents, the coaches know that that's just one thing that we can provide that they don't have to worry about. And they're professionally sized and fit. And if you're a track runner, sometimes what you run in a running shoe, you don't fit, you know, the track spikes fit differently and they need to fit differently. They need to be tighter. And so, you know, we have everybody and the kids are basically sized and fit two different areas. So they're getting properly sized and then able to just take off and run in these races and, you know, these meets and do incredibly well. And so, and again, like we, you know, they've got the talent, you know, they've got the passion to do this and we can provide the shoes. That's our job to do that. And we love it. It's incredible to see the kids just take off and start running in these shoes and just to feel a little bit a part of it is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that accessibility part is so much a huge part. I know, you know, even when I was in cross country in high school and coming from a place of very much privilege of my parents just being able to take me to our local run, like our coach telling us, it's like, hey, this is where you go and get running shoes. And, you know, I don't know like where my, like, I mean, I kind of have an idea of where my parents were financially, but they were able to go and take me and I was able to buy a pair of, you know, Brooks Adrenalines and for a first pair of running shoes. And I was also able to buy a pair of spikes that I was able to use for cross country and depending on the track, outdoor track, you know, if we had a rubber track, this was back when we still had the asphalt ones too. And so, you know, my mind wonders about, you know, man, there are those kids out there who may not have that same access and to be able to know that there are folks out there helping them to be able to make the sport of running more accessible, even to think that, I mean, running is a fairly accessible sport. We joke about it all the time of saying like, running is me stepping out my front door and running. Yeah. But I think when you start to break it down, you know, there is that idea that at some point in time, you know, you want a good, well-fit pair of running shoes. And it's not that it's a barrier, but it definitely can hinder some folks in a lot of ways. And, you know, I think the run shoe industry definitely has ways that they're growing and looking forward. So as you guys are doing this work and you're balancing both this idea of providing something to the greater community that's not actively participating in running, but also actively participate, but also then this community that's actively participating and mm-hmm. teaching and growing the sport of running. What have you found for yourself within your own running journey that this has kind of been able to take shape for?
Oh gosh. You know, I think for me, it's just incredible to see. And we also work, by the way, we work with the Healing Place, their 10K mm-hmm. team. We headed there in about 2 weeks, but I think it just, you feel so fortunate to be able to, again, provide to the community. For me, as far as running, I feel lucky to be able to run, you know, and, you know, I think to me, I'm 53 now. And again, it's the health piece too. I've had some health issues this past year. It's kept me from running. And I think for me, definitely seeing the high schoolers take off and run, you know, it makes you just want to be a part of it, be a part of an active community. And again, that goes back to also with the soup kitchens and food pantries, like just to know that you're enabling people to be active in the community in a way that they might not be able to. And also for myself, you know, it's to stay healthy and moving around we laugh all the time because it's such a physical, you know, we volunteer, yes, but what we do, it's so physical. We're lifting bags, we're moving things, mm-hmm. Things like that. So even our nonprofit is active. We as a group are always active doing things. You know, we'll go for a run or we'll work out together too. So it's to me, Shoot provides me with a way of staying active in the community in so many different ways.
Is there sort of that uplifting joy as you see this impact, especially? And I mean, I love to focus on the high schoolers and being able to allow that space to build that community of running.
Yeah.
I mean, they're high schoolers, so there's only so much we can do. But like, do you find yourself like going out and maybe like jogging with them and engaging in their stories, or, you know, especially when you're talking with the coaches, you know, what's that behind the scenes work you're doing? You know, I hesitate to say vetting, but as you're having conversations about what you can do with these schools and you're talking with the coaches, what do those conversations look like? And how much of those stories do they really like make just like an emotional impact? Not that you're determining the help that you're offering, but just to make it feel that much better about being able to offer this sort of accessibility.
I had this great conversation. I was with one of the students. It just made me feel good because we love what we're doing. And it's just that idea of doing what we feel like we were put on this planet to do. And but there's something really great. Like, I had this conversation with a Huguenot High School student a few years ago. And she came up, because everything we do is based on dignity. So you can give all day long, right? But that idea of dignity is part of it, is, I think, is one of the most important things to me, is to do it in a way that makes somebody else, the person who's receiving it, feel good. And that's hard to do sometimes. And there was a student that came up to me, and she received a pair of shoes, and she said, I thought this was going to be so weird, you know, because it is for me, it was going to be hard for me to accept something given to me. And she said, I thought it was going to be so strange. She said, you guys made it fun. Like, because I think when we show up, we're just kind of this ball of energy as far as our volunteers are. And we also are so welcoming, and we feel a part of what their journey is. And so when the student came in, she goes, you made me feel good about it. You didn't make me feel strange. And you made me, and again, we saw her 3 more years after that. But that to me made me feel really, it made me feel like what we were doing mattered. And doing it in a way that truly made the student athletes feel good about, feel able to accept what we're giving them in a way, and take on. I said, you know what? We're just a part of your small journey. And I said, we're happy to be here. And it was really great. I mean, it made you realize that what you were doing, the way you were doing it, was the right way. It was very special, you know. And I feel like that. Again, like when we always are hugging, you know, there's always that we love to actually go see their meets anytime. Mm-hmm. But if you ever, you know, if you follow our Instagram, anytime the coaches tell us what they've done, we celebrate their victories, because, again, we're just a small part of what they do. And if we can provide shoes all day long, you know, I remember in the very beginning, we did not have a lot of spikes. And we had the students had to share the spikes. So we would give them spikes. Mm-hmm. They would, you know, we maybe have, you know, different, especially the sprinting spikes. Sprinting spikes are actually pretty hard to come by. And so the teams would share. Now we're starting to get more and more spikes in, and we're so excited to give it to them. And they're not having to share the spikes, because then there's that part of them putting on, and you know, as a runner, you know, and I ran track too, and that idea of that new spike going on the foot, and, you know, and that being your spike for the season is pretty special. So it's just amazing to be a part of their journey at all, and to see them continuing to be active. And, you know, you think about it, as high school students, you know, you can choose to be involved in your school, to represent your school, to be a part of that community, or you could go home, you know, and sit on your couch. And so I'm really excited to see. The one thing that's happened that's been really cool for us is that every year we work with these schools, they'll call, well, you know, we'll have the conversations with the coaches ahead of time. Hey, we're coming to you guys. What does it look like as far as numbers? And they'll give us a number, and then they'll call us, you know, a week later, and they'll say, okay, we have more kids. And then we have more kids. And so we've seen those numbers grow and grow and grow. And we love it. And we're always like, yes, you know, and again, that shoot magic happens where, even if we feel like we might, you know, run into some problems or have to buy some special shoes, either money will show up and we can buy those shoes, or we will get them. A shoe company will ship them in. It's amazing how those we always have enough for the work we're doing.
And, you know, this work that you're doing in the high schools, do you see it translating into the greater running community? That is, you know, I often wonder, because I find great joy that you're creating this space for high school students. And I almost wonder, you know, what my, you know, how that's experienced across the running community in Richmond. I mean, I lived in Richmond for 6 years, and, you know, I've seen the great work that you've done at SHUD. And so I wonder, you know, not necessarily how is SHUD viewed, but even more so, like, do you notice an impact that SHUD has on the greater running community because of this, you know, work that you do in the high schools?
Yeah. Well, I feel it. Well, for instance, we actually have one of the TJ student athletes that we put shoes on him several times. And we were really fortunate because we have this race coming up. The River City Half is coming up, and we are an event charity for that. And we were able to allow some runners to basically run for SHUD with some fundraising pieces. And so we actually have a student who's running. So that they're not, I love it because he runs cross country, he runs indoor, and now he's getting ready to run this half K for us, kind of thing. And, you know, with our, you know, I guess representing SHUD in a way. So to me, I love that because, and again, like these college students too, it's, you know, these kids are growing up and they're continuing to run. And then as far as like the people, you know, the folks who are supporting us, I think they absolutely love the fact that these, you know, people are continuing to stay active. And I think that's why we really work well with sports backers, because we want the same thing they want, which is to have a really active Richmond. And these high schoolers are growing up, they're continuing to run, but also the folks who are donating to us and the people who are volunteering for us are feeling a part of what we do too. And again, it's the running community. Richmond is amazing. Just this idea of wanting more people. It's a very welcoming community. And you want as many people, and you'll see these groups. It's not just sports bikers, but it's other groups too. And they're all running together. We see it too with, again, with the Healing Place. The Healing Place is Caritas. And those folks majority of them are on in active recovery. And they are, you know, taking time out to, not only are they in recovery, but they're training for a 10K, which to me is amazing. I just am blown away by them. And then you have the alumni come back. And so, again, that's more folks running, you know, and doing great here in Richmond. And if you look at these races, you know, we're known for our races here in Richmond. And it's great to be a part of this community.
And, you know, SHUD is out there at all of these races that the Richmond community puts on, and they're present in the community. Where else could we expect to see SHUD if you're in Richmond? I mean, aside from the SHUD shares, aside from helping out, where else are we seeing you? Where else is the running community at large? Like, where can they find you and engage with you?
Yeah, you know, you can check us out. Definitely our website, shud.org. Anytime you can see what's going on. But if you can also look at, you can also sign up for our newsletter. One of the things that we consistently need are volunteers, because we're volunteer run. And we have I think it's like starting next week, we'll have about 8 SHUD shares within a 2-week period. I mean, it's crazy awesome. And because of that, we need lots of help. And so I think for us, you know, you're going to see us out in the community, but if you want to get involved in this, definitely join in on the fun. But yeah, we're all over the place. Like, we're always doing SHUD shares all around Richmond. You can see our donation boxes at Fleet Feet and also at Sports Backers. We have a new box going in at University of Richmond and their training facility. But you see us everywhere. You know, we have our van. We call her Vanna White. She's always running around. Definitely not. I don't see her. But yeah, we're everywhere. Anywhere there's running, we'll be there. Again, we'll be there for the River City Half post-race. And then, of course, we'll be there for Marathon post-race. And we're, again, always just supporting our community, you know, any way we can.
And it has started with something as simple, it seems, as what goes on our feet. And I think if anybody understands how important that is, it's runners, right? And especially the people who are running constantly, because, you know, we are putting 300 to 500 miles on them. And most people probably don't see my shoes a lot coming through, because once I use them to run, then they become like yard shoes or around the house shoes. And I mean, I literally get every, you know, centimeter out of my shoes that I can. But, you know, we see these ways in which we take what has so very much been given for us to use to do what we love to do. And now it's become a tool to be able to offer both to the community that you're giving to these used shoes, but also, you know, the passion for the used shoes then sort of sparked this way in which you can also make this sport that you love more accessible for folks who are growing up in the sport, and these track athletes, and someone who might get discouraged because they don't have the right pair of running shoes. And so therefore they might be getting injured a lot, and they get discouraged after like a couple of years of just, you know, whether it's shin splints or plantar or Achilles or all of these different overuse and bad shoe injuries. And so, you know, being able to connect that with the greater running community, it's hard to walk past your tent at the Richmond Marathon. Not just because I know Robin well at this point in time, listeners, but because it really stands out and sticks out. And, you know, they've got a photo zone. And so, you know, as you look into the future, I mean, y'all are 7 years into this, you know, into this passion, you know, as you continue to look forward, what are some hopes and dreams that you have for Shoot?
Yeah, so in the 7 years, we've given away over 25,000 pairs of shoes locally. And it blows my mind. I mean, I'm serious. When mm-hmm. we started, I would have never thought these numbers. And we just continue to just grow. I think for us in the future, one big thing that we are hoping to do is to continue to get more shoes from shoe companies or being able, and that's a big thing with getting donations, and we're able to purchase shoes. We have a great relationship with the shoe companies, whereas if we don't get them for free, mm-hmm. we get them at very low cost. And so that enables us to do more work, because we get the best shoes come in and then they trickle down, right? And mm-hmm. so that to me is something that we would love to do more of, is get the best shoes we can for the folks here in Richmond. Another thing too is we've been approached to expand outside of Richmond, but which has been very flattering and awesome. I think for us, we're strategic in what we do, and we don't want to do things too fast. So once we take on someone that we're going to provide shoes with, we'll never go away. So when mm-hmm. we on whether it be a high school or a soup kitchen or a recovery program, once we say we're going to be there, we're going to be there all the time, you know, so you never have to worry about shoes again. So for us, it's like this really slow expansion, but we've now moved into Petersburg. We'll have actually a shoe giveaway out in Goochland. So we're working with Goochland Cares on that. But we're starting to move outside of Richmond, and I think it'll continue. I mean, we can go anywhere where there's a need and there's a strong running community. As long as we mm-hmm. have those things, we can go anywhere. So I think you're going to continue to see us grow. Making sure we always stay based here in Richmond, but to grow outside of Richmond and continue to get those new shoes that helps us out a lot with giving the best shoes we can and giving more of those.
And what a great story. I mean, listeners, y'all need to go and look at this nonprofit and all the work that they do and everything that's going into it, because beyond anything, it is living into this idea of making sure that the community that we're running it, right, is being cared for, and that it's just a great place to be. We love to go run, and running often involves running outside. And sometimes you have to be met with the realities of life when you're running around and you see all these things, and then you hear the stories as well. And so, you know, this is an awesome company that's doing great things. But so, Robin, let's hit these end of podcast questions. I've changed them up a little bit, so please don't get thrown off at all. So what is your favorite race distance?
Oh, my goodness. Now, I am not an avid runner, I'll tell you that. So to me, I love 3 miles. Like, I feel like that's my favorite. I can speed it up. I can do whatever with that. But anything over that, you're not going to see me do it very often. You know, I'll leave the marathon to everybody else, right? I'll be there. I'll be cheering people on at the end. How about that?
There you go. All right. What is your favorite post-run snack?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I love, oh gosh. I love almonds, but I love a protein bar. I do. I love a protein bar. That's probably the cheating thing, but yes. Banana. All right. Maybe banana too. My knees are always hurting. Yes.
All right. What is something interesting that has happened to you on a run? What's your best run story?
Oh my goodness. Oh, interesting. Okay. I always end up talking to people. I don't know, like you can tell I'm a big talker, but I find that, you know, I'm trying to concentrate on a run, but then I'll run into some, you know, I'll have my dog. I'm usually, you know, if I'll run with my dog, then I end up stopping. And so then I have these amazing conversations with people, which I think is really funny. Yeah. You know, that's it. The worst thing I think that's happened though, is I did the turkey trot at University of Richmond a few years ago. And I just remember falling not once, but twice. And I came across the finish line with the bloodiest knees. I had on these crazy socks that were like turkey legs. And I mean, that was but guess what? I did it the next year too. So
we're always there for it. Always.
I know, you know, I'm not very graceful when I fall either. So.
All right. And then last question, why should someone find and join their local group for a run?
To me, it's community. I really think that I think it's good when you surround yourself with people that want to do the things you want to do. And if, you know, being active is important to you, being around active people will keep you going in that direction. And I also find that anybody I've run with has been very positive. And so I think that's also incredible to surround yourself put these really active, positive people in your community. It's to keep on running with those kind of folks. Those are your people.
Awesome. Well, Robin, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing all this information with us. Thank you for sharing the story of Shoot and all the things that y'all are doing. You know, if anybody has running shoes, you know, find your way to Richmond and drop them off at Shoot or at Fleet Feet. Everybody's just using these tongue twisters these days to help support this just great and awesome nonprofit. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining. And remember, make every mile count.